Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So 5 years after Karateka, they would publish Jordan's next game, Prince of Persia. Concept wise. Boys here, the internet's number one Persian podcast returns with more of that online methadone that keep the intrusive thoughts away. I am your host, Ethan Palmer, and Lore Boys here. The internet's number one Persian podcast returns with more of that online methadone to keep the intrusive thoughts at bay. I am your host, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by
Ethan Palmer.
Yeah.
On the second try.
James Miller.
There we go. If I could turn back time.
If I could find a way.
Glad we were super,
out of super there.
Timed up there. Yeah.
We even talked in the bonus how we are unable to sing at the same time on Discord. Yeah. But you guys,
maybe
I love it.
Sorry.
So this week's episode about Prince of Persia was requested by patron Swing Jelly and backed up by regular Discord user Archlord Dirk. I don't think we have any new patrons, but we do have an update you guys were talking about there.
Got a shout out Mad Lad Terry Loreboy Prime once more.
Top tier, baby.
Yeah, cream of the crop Terry over there.
He wrote on Patreon, he's like, I'm coming home from the bar. Should I give you guys top tier, basically? And yeah. I guess he did. Terry, I hope you can afford it. Refund it if you can't, but thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And anybody else out there who might get that thought in their head the next time they get drunk to drop too much money on the Lore Boys, maybe think about it twice, just in case.
Yeah, do it.
I appreciate it. But
we want to play some D&D. Let's do it, dude.
Yep, yeah. We love you.
You pick a time, Terry. Let's do some D&D.
Let's do
hell
it.
Yeah.
So, fellas, are you familiar with the Prince of Persia games? Have you played them? Have you seen them?
I played a lot. My favorite is probably Little Red Corvette. Maybe Purple Rain. Both pretty good.
Very good, yeah.
No, I think I've played like one of them that I borrowed on Wii or something.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, like I remember I was in university in like my second summer there, going into my third year, and someone gave me a copy. I think maybe it was GameCube actually. And
there was one on the Wii which was forgotten. Oh, apparently the Two Thrones as well.
Yeah, I barely remember anything. I remember running on walls and reversing time, and that feels like a good summer
game,
in the game. Yeah,
that's it.
That's
yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So you remember the whole thing is what you said.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I played the heck out of 1, 2, and 3. It was I think I owned 1, and my childhood friend Matt had at least, I think 1, 2, and 3. And so like we'd go to his cottage pretty regularly and like play the heck out of it there, or he'd come over and play a lot of Prince of Persia. Don't remember any of the story, really.
That's
you get a dagger. You get a dagger made of sand unless you turn back time.
I used to get Persian food nearby. It's recently closed down. The guy, I knew the owner. He used to go to my dog park, and he says he wants to go to Mexico, and he got an armored van to drive through Mexico with him and his dog, and he sold his restaurant. But he used to have great kebabs over there. But anyways, yeah.
There's another. There's a Persian food place near me, which I've been to once. Very expensive, but delicious. So
I have a Persian recipe up right now for Koresh Rivas, which is rhubarb stew.
Oh, that's interesting. I can't imagine, like, is it tart, like sweet and sour? Like, what is it?
I've never had it. I'm going to try it, though.
Boiling it might change the flavor a bit. Some of those things go from, like, sour to, like, sweet to sour or whatever.
It says savory and sour.
There we go. I remember eating rhubarb like straight out the ground. We would just take it out the ground and like just sprinkle some sugar on top because it was like so sour, and the sweetness would help balance it out. And
yeah, I always heard that the leaves were poisonous.
The leaves and the stalks can both be poisonous.
I ate a lot of stalks. Uh-oh.
They give you kidney stone.
Oh, Lord.
If you eat too much.
Shit. I probably had it like once a year, 4 years in a row. But
well, it's not. Right. That's not too much.
That's not kidney stone.
Well, I guess it depends. If the once a year you ate 500 pounds of rhubarb, that's too much.
Oh, yeah. But I guess it does depend. Yeah.
Single stalk.
I gotta spoil myself. I gotta binge on rhubarb at least once a year. Right? I literally out of the fucking ground.
I literally haven't had it in 20 years, but my mouth is like watering, and like, you know that feeling of sour where your mouth, like, I feel the sour even though I haven't had it in 20 years.
Yeah, man, someone.
It's a lot. Yeah.
So me, myself, 20 years ago, did not eat rhubarb straight out of the ground, but I did play The Sands of Time, the first newer Prince of Persia game. Newer, it TM, basically, because it was 2003.
Yeah, because the original was on the Mac, right?
It's on the Apple II. Like, we will talk Apple II, about yeah, it.
Oh, I worked with a guy who was obsessed with that game. He, like, would speedrun it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my buddy Kyle had Sands of Time. I think he had all three of like the Ubisoft trilogy on his Xbox the first. So it was a game I watched a lot of. And then I played Sands of Time myself. I remember liking it. I obviously would grow to like what Prince of Persia turned into, which is I like most of Assassin's Creed because it did eventually morph into that. I've invoked it. I'm sorry.
Do they call it King of Iran now?
Yeah, Prince of Iran, yeah.
Well, he's still a prince?
Boy, wow, after all this time, yeah.
His dad, yeah. His dad has given
up. He's done with it already.
Yeah. So, like, me never finishing Prince of Persia, this is one of those things, like, Ubisoft recently has been having a lot of trouble. I don't know if somebody wants to bring up the stock to see what it's at right now. The Prince of Persia remake is stuck in development hell. It has been delayed 5 times.
Jeez.
And it most recently, early 2023, they were like, no, we're going completely dark because the Prince of Persia remake is going back to the concept phase. Oof. I don't know how bad you need to fuck something up that remaking a thing that already exists has to go back to the concept phase.
I kind of respect the move in that, like, if you recognize that, like, hey, this isn't to the level that we want, rather than just pushing it out and being like, oh, well, there it is. Yeah, exactly. Like, I do respect them, like, going back. And it's one of those things, like, hey, got stuck a little bit in development hell, so it took a long time. And, like, just like what gamers have wanted has kind of moved on, and it continues to move on a little bit, you know? So, like, rather than, like, letting a producer be like, well, now, you know, battlegrounds are in vogue, so Prince of Persia has to have a battleground, and you have to try and, like, figure out how to shoehorn that in, you just start from scratch and make the Prince of Persia battleground. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Battle Royale. I mean, sorry, I keep saying Battlegrounds, but I mean Battle Royale.
The G in PUBG, right?
Yeah. Battle Royale in Europe, they call it Royale with cheese.
What would a Prince of Persia Battle Royale even look like? It's like you're on the inside of an empty farm silo just running up the walls and the first guy to get to the top, but you can reverse time on your opponents or something.
Like, honestly, that sounds kind of cool. A parkour Battle Royale with time travel. Neat.
Yeah,
it seems incredibly hard. And especially, I mean, it's just like one of the more recent things that Ubisoft has done. We're going to talk about real life stuff first, so this is all fairly relevant. Like Skull and Bones, their pirate game that's been in hell for a decade. Beyond Good and Evil 2, that has been in hell for like 17 years. And now the Prince of Persia remake. Now, I definitely sympathize with your thing there, Ethan, where it's just like, oh, I admire them for delaying it. Ubisoft is comfortable with pushing garbage out into the market, fair. Right? So, like, I don't understand why Prince of Persia is the one, like, oh, no, this has to be good. Like, they put they put NFT cosmetics in, like, the Ghost Recon game, right?
Yeah. So, watch them release, like, Prince of Persia and Rabbids, like, next year or something.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
On the blockchain. The new Flash movie is currently on the blockchain now, so Warner Brothers is making just all the best decisions.
You said Flash movie and my mind instantly went to like Newgrounds. I was like, what are you talking about? Flash has been dead for like 5 years.
No
And then realized you're talking about the superhero. Comic book hero.
My Neopets. No.
So we're gonna start here again in real life with a man named Jordan Mechner. He was a programmer and game designer from New York. In 1984, he made a game called Karateka in his free time while attending Yale University on an Apple II computer, which is super fucking impressive. That you can make a video game in the early 80s, just in your spare time.
Mm-hmm.
So Karateka was a martial arts fighting game with a very 80s box art, which I did post if you guys want to take a look.
I just Googled it. I'm looking at it right now. It's fucking fantastic, dude.
Yeah. So the game was published by Broderbund, which is a now defunct game and educational software company. So Broderbund was actually an American publisher, and the name Broderbund is a made-up European-sounding word.
It does sound like a... I was trying to think, what is a Broderbund? Is that like a, a sandwich you eat with your brother?
I don't know.
Hey, bro, want to split a hoagie with me?
You could get Broderbund? Broderbund is kind of like a mistranslation of Band of Brothers. So not too far off there, Jamie.
Nice.
See, no breakfast, you're sharp as ever.
Yeah, dude.
He had breakfast. He's happy to a white cloth.
That's true.
I didn't say this was out of the normal for you, man. I'm fine right now.
Fair enough. So Broderbund, one of the things behind it is because on the old computers, to differentiate an O from a zero, there's a little line through a zero, and some of the, the equivalent of our French accents in some Nordic languages is like the O with the cross through it, which I believe is a long O. So it's like Broderbund instead of like Bruder or whatever, right?
I think it's called a flajorka.
O can make three sounds, though, can it? It can make
sound off.
Well, so you have the... the one you just did, Pete?
Well, you have I guess.
Yeah.
What are you, a drunk pilot about to puke?
Because you got the ghost. You got the ghost. You got... You got... recording or...
Off. You got off.
Off.
You got on. You got...
On and off are the same sound.
You got awkward.
Mm-hmm. That's you.
Three boys, not an O between us in our names.
What?
We only use A's and E's, actually. Holy
first
smokes,
names.
Guys.
First names is what Jamie
is. I was like, what are you fucking talking about?
Your last name has like a very Rios. Distinct O, yeah.
Yeah.
Very distinct. Like
one kind of off on its own. Oh, off. Oh, no, I already said off.
Okay. Yeah, own.
off oon its own.
All right, Prince. How many O's in Prince of Persia? None.
None.
All easy. Prince of Porsche.
Prince of Pornja. What?
Prince of Pornja. So 5 years after Karateka, they would publish Jordan's next game, Prince of Porsche. Concept-wise, the game isn't anything revolutionary. You play an unnamed man, just called the Prince, who needs to platform his way through multiple dungeons to save the Princess of Persia from the evil Grand Vizier named Jafar. I put the cover art here as well. Very 80s. Kind of a fusion of, 80s box art and, a Hollywood movie poster from, kind of the Silver Age. So, this...
Pretty styled like Aladdin, but it's pre-Aladdin, right? This predates it?
Yeah, so just
Jafar.
Just like Disney's Aladdin, which came out a few years later in 1994, Jafar's name and position are a direct reference to the character in the 1940 film The Thief of Baghdad, where he was appropriately played by an actor named Hans Walter Conrad Veidt, which is
a very
Persian name. if you want to open up another picture, he didn't have the... level of brown face I was kind of expecting, maybe in Lawrence of Arabia, but there is just this picture I found of him with an arrow stuck through his forehead.
Yeah.
Used to be an adventurer like you.
Yeah, and then
I
got
an arrow
killed.
Straight to the center of the forehead.
And then it stopped my executive function.
So for animation in Karateka and way more recently in the Banner Saga, which we did talk about, Prince of Persia also used rotoscope, which I think one of you brought up when we were doing the Banner Saga episode, for its kind of realistic and smooth animations.
I don't know what that is, really. So
When you animate over real images.
Yeah.
Oh,
real
okay.
footage.
Mortal Kombat used it. Banner Saga used it. We talked about it a lot on the Banner Saga.
More recently, there's been a rotoscope moment that's gone viral where in the Ralph Bashke animated Lord of the Rings, the actor who played the live-action Aragorn that was going to be rotoscoped in one take, his like sword scabbard came loose and got stuck through his legs, and he just fucking trips over it, and they were like, well, we got the take, and they just animated over that. So in the Two Towers animated, basically Aragorn at one point just fumbles his sword so hard and just like almost eats shit.
He's running and it gets caught between his two shins, like,
yeah,
while he's
exactly
running, and he's like, oh yeah.
Which is it's so fun. So yeah, he used Jordan Mechner's reference was his brother, basically his brother, who was doing gymnastics, and then he also used footage from some martial arts films, obviously for karateka, but like his brother did the gymnastics for Prince of Persia, because it was very much like a very heavily animated.
Is that what Broderbund stands for?
Broderbund.
Yeah, every time you say karateka, I'm picturing Arasaka from Cyberpunk. For
Cyberpunk?
Some reason. Yeah.
It's Carrot Tapa, actually.
Carrot Tapa.
Yeah, he's a prop comedian.
Right, on steroids.
Oh, yeah, so bad.
Yeah.
Jordan Mechner eventually made a sequel called Prince of Persia, The Shadow and the Flame in 1993. So this is very much like a spare time thing. Like, he's making games by himself, like programming games by himself, shooting footage of his brother, and basically releasing something under Broderbund every 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Where was I here?
Still more timely than Ubisoft. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like one guy with an Apple II is doing more work on Prince of Persia than modern Ubisoft.
The reason the new Prince of Persia actually went back to the concept phase is because the one guy who had a brother who knew any kind of gymnastics left the company, so they have to go put pause until they can find another guy who has a brother who does gymnastics. So
for the brother bend?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brother
bend.
Yeah. And then Mechner also had a concept for a third game, which never came out. So he kind of started the Prince of Persia release curse, I guess, back in the early 90s. So because it's Ubisoft we're talking about, I kind of had assumed that one of their copyright vampires had just scooped up the Prince of Persia name for like pennies on the dollar when Broderbund burned out in 98. Sorry.
So we're getting a lot of mileage out of this word.
Hey, look, they made up a goofy word. It's ours now.
Yep. Yep, like copyright vampires.
Yeah. It's ours now, baby. Yep. Broderbund shut down in 1998. And 3 years later, Jordan Mechner actually joined Ubisoft in 2001 and got to work on the series that we're familiar with here, starting work on Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. So, years prior to the events of the game, the unnamed Maharaja of India... also, there's a lot of characters in this series, sadly, that do not have names. They just have a title, including the protagonist. So, sorry, I guess, in advance for storytelling purposes here. Years prior to the events of the game, the unnamed Maharaja of India, through his vizier, learned of and ventured to the Island of Time... and also to find the artifacts of time. Another thing for the writing here, get ready for a lot of blank of time names.
Okay.
Every
like
single
Sands of Time?
Sands of Time, the Dagger of Time, Scepter of Time, the Medallion of Time, the Fortress of Time.
And we're out of time, ladies and folks.
Yeah exactly. Thanks for listening.
If you rewind this episode and listen again, it might be different.
maybe we don't fuck it up so bad on the second listen.
The devil,
God, I hope
so. Yeah. The devil gives you a recipe for a rhubarb strawberry pie, which would
if
be
you
great.
Listen to the backwards.
So taking a few men with him, he sailed through the dense fog surrounding the island and successfully made landfall to begin his expedition. The island and its artifacts were created in the deep past by unknown gods, maybe the same ones who created some of the other fantastical creatures in the world, like genies and the Dahaka. The Dahaka is like a demon who chases you around in the second game, I think, in Warrior Within. Like, fucking with time has, like, drawn the ire of ghosts and their demon servants or whatever.
Right.
The Empress of Time, Kylina, was also created, and she would end up as a scantily clad enemy and then friend within the games. So you can bring up a picture of her if you'd like. On the subject of gorgeous Persian women.
All right.
Yeah.
Where are we here? Okay, yeah. It's a Persian woman wearing a towel clipped to her shoulders, I guess. As a like a dish towel, I should.
A dishcloth, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like, I don't have access to my mouse right now, so I'm unable to see. I thought that was just like, she had some ceremonial garb and you were being really insensitive about it, but it's actually a dish towel. Okay.
Jamie's looking at Hans Veit there being like, well, he looks fine to me. I don't know.
I'm looking at your faces. Yeah.
I tried to post it again for you, Jamie, so you don't have to do it, but I posted with spoiler.
I can't. I don't even have access to the chat. I'm just looking at your faces. It's okay.
This guy, man.
Oh, I'll go. I'm like the listener. I can listen to you guys describe, and if there's anything I don't understand, I can ask more.
Just imagine a beautiful dark-haired woman rendered in 2003 CGI with kind of a skimpy ceremonial kind of priestess outfit.
All right.
Yeah.
So Dahaka seems to be Zahak from Persian mythology, known as Zahak, the snake shoulder, an evil figure in Persian mythology, evident in ancient Persian folklore as Aji Dahaka.
Man,
okay, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, they do take. I didn't go into that part of folklore. There's some other folklore monsters we're gonna get into.
Speaking of snakes, man, they're scary. I got into
Fear of Snakes, man. They're scary.
They're scary.
Honestly, think about it. Snakes, kind of scary.
I got into watching old Fear Factor this week because I moved my TV to my room, so I wanted something to fall asleep to.
Rogan
with hair, and then they're like, okay, climb into this sarcophagus, and we're going to dump piles of snakes on top of you. And nobody tapped out. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed. You know? I don't know if I could deal with the squirming, but
the snakes?
I can deal totally with most stuff, not the eating. The eating, I just like, I would lose every time.
I can do the eating. Not eating bugs.
No.
Some of the height challenges, like where you have to like walk across like beams that are like hung from cranes that are like swinging and stuff. I probably just don't have the athleticism to do that faster than the person next to me. But yeah, I think I could deal. Honestly, I think I could even deal with the snakes. I think I could have the mental fortitude. Like it's a minute. I could get through this. But
It's
you win $50,000 after doing like four crazy ass things. But
yeah,
I think I would enjoy, like, I paid to bungee jump and I paid to skydive. You know what I mean? Like those first ones, like the high flying crane ones, like I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
You're all hooked up. Eat a bull testicle and I'd be like, no.
That's the part, of course. It's like eating the sex organs of farm animals is where I would be.
More gallons of cum wins. Like, I'm good. Thanks.
I'm going to win. But
I was thinking bull comes, which is
okay. Well, if I wanted to hop into a sarcophagus and get a Sahaka and then reverse time to do it again, I might do the Prince of Persia. But
you incorrectly get the you're like, oh, I got the the amulet of time. I'm just gonna fast forward through the minute with snakes, and it'll be no problem. Without realizing, like, you're rewinding, you can't fast forward, you can only rewind. So he's like, going back, you gotta eat the bull testicles all over again. You're like, God,
no, yeah, I overshot
the time, it. The time anchor is like, you've only got enough sand in the dagger to go back to the bull testicle meal. And you're like, God damn it. held down LT too hard on the controller, you're eating bull testicles just on Xbox all the time. Like, oh, fuck's sake.
Damn.
I know he mentioned that there was like one stunt they did where people had to drink cum that the network was just like, you people have gone too far. And like, that was an episode that ended up getting.
All right. You guys got your out of context quotes. Now we can move on.
Yeah, exactly. For my lawyers.
Yeah.
So when the entire game and the creation, all of this takes place is really unclear. I watched the opening cutscene for Sands of Time and there wasn't like a date given. However, in real life, Persia invaded India multiple times throughout history and had Indian territory under their control between 559 and 486 BC. So this is probably where the games take place, but that's a heavy dose, a heavy helping of rhubarb and lore boys canon to like make that come together, because that's just like the real dates.
Is lore boys canon sour too?
It's savory. That's a savory bit.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Not as sour as bull cum.
Nature's warhead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, they're not eating any pineapple. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's probably rancid.
It's a lot of grass. A lot of, what are they? Grass?
Corn.
Oh, maybe it's sweet.
Maybe.
Does corn do that?
We'll have to try. Yeah. One way to find out.
So the window we're probably looking at is 559 to 486 BC. They probably ate a lot of testicles at this time, every part of the animal. But the term Maharaja wasn't exactly used until the 3rd century, like 700 years later. So it's, again, it's just like, you know, very culturally aware 2001 writing, probably, right?
Okay.
One funny thing I found here about the term Maharaja when I was trying to look up the etymology of it just to find maybe where we could slot in where these games take place. The term Maharaja apparently came about because the empires of India had an issue with something called title inflation. So being a Raja or a king wasn't cool enough. So eventually you had to become a Maharaja, which translates to great king. So basically it's like a historical playground argument where like, well, my Raja can beat up your Raja because he has an invincibility plus one shield or something like that.
He's the Maharaja.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you get you end up getting rulers with like,
and then there's the
titles.
There's the Maharaja, which is the okay rulers.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the mini Raja, which is also the prince.
Yeah. Very good. There's
mini Raja of Persia.
Yes.
I want to say of time because Pete, you told me all the artifacts are of time.
Mm. Yeah, it's prince of time, Maharaja of time. All that good stuff. Anyway, our Maharaja and his men were attacked on the island of time by its guardians, the sand creatures. They're generally seen in game as like humanoid shaped warriors made of sand. It was a really good way to get like the game rated T for teen, is where you cut a guy in half and just like sand and light comes out instead of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they function very much like zombies. But, well, like more agile zombies because they can do sword fighting and whatnot. But if they kill you or come into contact with you, they do turn humans into other sand creatures. You can take a look at one of them here that I posted.
How do they turn you into sand? I bet you like the sand crawls into your mouth and nose first and like dries you out.
Well, this guy's dressed fucking sexy too.
Yeah,
this
one pictured is called the Sand Eunuch.
Did you get this off R34 or something? It's clearly a zombie, like very pallid gray skin.
Yeah.
Its face is like, I can't tell if it's a mask or not, but it's like he's just got like glowing red embers coming out of his mouth, and he's got the two Homer Simpson hairs on his head.
Oh, talking about that, I thought it was three, but the boys knew better and said it was two.
I think they're tattoos of like little semicircles, but like
I think they're chain rings.
Could be chain hooks too. But then he's very clearly wearing like a BDSM outfit of like a leather harness that doesn't cover his nipples, just covers like his belly just like a banana hammock made of leather with like a one leather band. He's got a chain in his hands. He's standing very seductively. Like,
I'm glad I don't have my mouse today. I feel like we're getting hot. I like picturing it through Ethan's words. I feel like that's great.
Also,
knee-high leather boots.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Also, the chain, instead of being hooked onto his belt or onto his corset or something, or onto the section where his balls used to be, it's hooked onto his nipple for storage. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, this is the sand eunuch.
Like, the leather harness that goes around his belly like extends up with a leather strap up to a choker around.
He looks Voldo. He looks like Voldo from Soul Calibur.
Like Voldo wearing BDSM stuff.
Yeah, so you could implement like sand eunuchs to keep your sand wife company, right?
Right,
They're completely harmless for you as the sand king.
Mm. Hell yeah.
So after multiple difficult fights, the Maharaja made it into the Fortress of Time, where he found multiple of time named relics, including the hourglass filled with the sands, the staff, the medallion, and the dagger of time. Before he could leave, the Maharaja was actually killed by a sand creature called a keeper. These are the basic enemy from the game. I didn't bother posting a picture. They're way less sexy. They're fully clothed for one, which is dumb. And they're very much normal looking dudes.
Nice.
He was killed by the sand creature called the keeper. However, another artifact that was within the chamber called the Mask of the Wraith that he had on him brought him back to life in the past, shortly before he was killed, with his memories intact, allowing him to save himself.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we're going to get more into more of these. We're going to get into more of these time artifacts after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. So the Maharaja managed to use time travel to save his own life, unlike the tiny mouse that Jamie's cat murdered while we were recording the first half of the episode.
Well, so, maimed. I murdered in the break, but anyways. Awful. So,
the Maharaja saving himself created two timelines, immediately overcomplicating the story for just because time travel always does that. Yes.
Is this a created two timelines because at a certain point the writers of game five or whatever wanted to do something different, so they're like, yeah, no, actually he did this? Like, was this a retcon or was it like originally? I say originally meaning I assume the Ubisoft trilogy is where we get this story. Like, I don't
it
think
is.
The original.
Yeah.
So was there in the original trilogy, do you know if there was originally two timelines? Or
I didn't see anything about the planning of the trilogy. I know the third game is called The Two Thrones, which I believe okay. is the split in the timeline, because gotcha. The prince goes back in the second, at the end of the first game, he goes back in time to give the dagger to someone else, you know, separating gotcha. The timeline again. But I did not go into like the pre-production of the Prince of Persia games. Was not
well, he still has to be a prince. Come on, there's two thrones. Like, can I just can I take that one? I want you to be a Maharaja. I'll just be a Raja.
You had to go back in time to stop the camel from crashing into the second throne.
Oh my God. Mr. Maharaja, there's a second throne. So the Maharaja returned to India and gifted the Medallion of Time to his daughter and the Staff of Time to his vizier, Jafar, who you guys can look up. Very trustworthy looking guy. Just want to say that.
I plugged my mouse in.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's wearing a magician's outfit from like the early 1900s, late 1800s, probably. he's got like a very evil grin, you know, red paint dots under the eyes, you know, the red paint on the forehead, doing jazz hands.
He's got nice, like, he looks like wealthy too, because he's got like gold trim to his to his chest and hat.
Well, he is the advisor and vizier for the Maharaja of India, so you'd hope that he was quite. That's a good paying job. Right?
I also, now that I can see the pictures, yeah, that last guy is way too sexy for a sandman.
For a zombie, right?
Yeah, like, what the
hell? I don't know what site Pete was on to find that picture, but oh
his
boy.
Stance, too. He's got one leg up and he's like kind of just like flexing.
He's got a real hello sailor kind of look in his eyes there.
Yeah, he's like twirling his chain like, yeah, are you going to come chase me or what?
I'm looking up the author because he did sign it. So.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah. Kai.
Mm-hmm.
With two dots. What does two dots over the eye do?
Ka-woo.
Makes an O noise. Yeah.
So Jafar had told the Maharaja about the Island of Time and its apparent time travel secrets and like the secret to immortality, because not only was he super trustworthy, but he was also dying of the consumption, which clinically known as tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis.
Now, these days, if you're in North America dying of consumption, it just means something else. But.
Yeah, it's McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
So I looked up why they called it the consumption, and it's because tuberculosis causes the body to just waste away, and you are being consumed by TB, basically.
Oof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awful way to go.
There's a lot of names for it. It was called Phthisis in Greece, I think, in ancient Greece. I think the white plague, I think, because you get very, very pale.
Right. The spicy nap.
Yeah. The spicy forever nap.
So TB has actually been drifting around India since about 3,500 years, excuse me. I think the first like recorded scientific document about tuberculosis is from India at this time. And still in 2023, a quarter of all tuberculosis cases on Earth are still within India. Sadly, it's like due to a lack of access to care, which is why people in
India. It's not a population thing. It's not a population thing. It's just a care thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, 26%, because obviously the population of India is massive and the healthcare is not fantastic. So, yeah, a quarter of
all infrastructure is struggling too, right? So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know how it's transferred. Is it like.
I think it's a respiratory disease or it's through droplets or something.
You get it from tubes. That's why they call it that.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have seen the first one.
Yeah, it's like T-O with a line through it.
It's spread through the air. It is airborne.
Yeah, I knew it was a respiratory thing. Because like,
don't talk to somebody with TB. That's the...
If someone in your life gets TB, cut them out.
Cut them out.
They are toxic.
Negativity. They are toxic. Literally. That's just... The T in tuberculosis. The T in TB stands for toxic.
Yeah, it's for toxic, yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Toxic tuberculosis.
Toxic. Yeah. Bursculinity.
Toxic bursculinity. So the vizier would eventually die of toxic tuberculosis. However, upon the return of the Maharaja, he used his time travel, the time relics or the relics of time, to bring him back and then gifted him the Staff of Time. Following cool. this, the remaining relics of time, specifically the dagger and the hourglass, were placed in the Maharaja's treasure vault. The vizier, realizing that his plan had worked, began planning... He's alive now, of course.
My plan worked. I'm still alive.
I was brought back from the dead. Okay.
I have the same plan every single day.
Yeah. I'm alive. Time to carry on.
At the end of it. Yeah.
You're still alive, so I don't know how many times you've enacted that plan, but it must be working.
Every day for 31 years, baby.
Yep.
There's literally no evidence that I'll ever die.
True.
Fair enough.
Yeah. As long as you stay away from that toxic bursculinity, man.
I think in the West, we're vaccinated against toxic bursculinity. Yeah. I think it's been eliminated.
When someone sits down on the bus next to you and starts breathing wide, it's like, geez, chill out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's man breathing on public transit. Although I say it's been eliminated in the West, there's probably some fucking idiot at like a private school in California who doesn't vaccinate their kids, who's like currently spreading tuberculosis in the daycare or something stupid right?
Well, like Black Plague comes back every once in a while, doesn't it?
Measles would come back after like 80 years or something stupid like that. TB's next, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, realizing his plan had worked, the vizier needed to enact the next stage of his plan. To do this, he hatched a plot involving the king of Persia at the time, Shah Rahman. Shah Rahman is not a name taken from history. He's not based on a real Persian.
It's a Digimon.
Name.
Shah Rahman!
If you want to pull up the next photo, it kind of is.
Oh, it kind of looks like a Digimon.
Yeah.
So wait, it's not taken from a real person?
No, the Shah Rahman.
This looks like a real picture.
it's a drawing.
It looks like it's painted on a teacup, dude.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like a real picture.
It looks like a historical picture. Like it's a good job for the artist who made this prop, I guess, for like or concept art for Prince of Persia. But
this is first evidence for the possibility of a cat dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nickelodeon's also from Babylon.
So I guess we can describe it. It's cat dog. If one end of cat dog was a snake and they had 6 feet and they were all snakes, the feet.
That's true.
And the other end of cat dog was a beautiful white lady with a with like a Chiquita banana fruit arrangement on her head, maybe.
You know,
and green horns out of Dr. Seuss.
It's the snakes all on the feet all have their tongues out, and that's how snakes smell. Wouldn't
it's
it
how
be
they maintain
awful
balance.
If your teeth could smell? Or your feet could smell? Your teeth could smell.
I think flies taste or smell with their feet when they land on
that's
something.
That's why they do the little
flies beater.
Dude, well, they do the little hand rubbies.
Snakes don't got feet to taste with. They got to use their face.
It's true.
Yeah, so the Sharaman translates directly to the king of snakes, and it's from Armenian and Turkish folklore. So yeah, this thing, it's not a Chiquita banana headset, or a headset, excuse me.
So it's not based on a real person, but it is based on a real thing.
Yes, it is a real folklore. This is a real folklore thing. So Jamie's probably right. This is probably on some 900-year-old piece of pottery or whatever.
I feel bad about my Digimon joke now. I was like, I was like, hey, he said it's not real. Bam, quick fire. And now I find out it is a real thing.
So instead of the painting on the mug or whatever that we got this from, I want Kai to do a rendition where the snake is a great big vein in it and like the lady's busting. And yeah, come on, Kai. Yeah.
A lot more leather. Yeah, you could have a lot more leather in this.
Way more nipple piercings too. Like every snake foot has like the
ball gag
piercing. Oh, a ball gag. Yeah,
a ball gag in every snake foot. John F. Kennedy said that.
I want to welcome in the kink of snakes. Ich bin ein kinky serpent. So Sharaman ruled Persia with his wife and two sons, Mehri, Malik, and the prince, respectively. So just like in the 1989 game, the protagonist is never given a name. He is simply known as the prince. Malik,
just
the older
prince. He got rid of his name.
Yeah, but this isn't even like a formally known thing, right?
Formally known as the Prince of Persia.
Yeah,
right.
His brother Malik died of a prescription drug overdose. Mm-hmm. So Malik, the older of the princes, ruled over Solomon's old kingdom. However, he eventually became possessed by a genie named Ratash, and resolving that whole thing is the plot of the Forgotten Sands on the Wii that we were talking about earlier, which we won't get into. The vizier's plan to have the Persians invade didn't go exactly to plan. Honestly, there's some fucking holes in the contract he made here. He promised Sharaman and his youngest son, the prince, that they could take anything they wanted from the Maharaja's vault if the invasion was successful. And for whatever reason, he left out the fact that, like, I really need the dagger of time and the hourglass. So obviously, Sharaman and the prince took the hourglass and the dagger with them.
There you go. There you go.
So now he's just like,
nothing but the lamp. No, wait, I mean, don't touch the lamp. Fuck.
Exactly.
I hope that everybody gets that reference still. Go watch Aladdin. You gotta watch Aladdin if you've never
seen it. The cartoon
one,
not the Will Smith one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked it when Genie slapped Chris Rock. that's a topical reference, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Hey, ooh, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Hey, can't get the respect. Huh?
Well, that's Ronnie Dangerfield.
He was trying to do Robin Williams,
which was a bad one.
The other genie, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, my wife's name out of my mouth. What's the deal with golf?
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield would have also been a very good genie.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. Yeah. He doesn't have the improv skills, but Rodney's so fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, like it also, one of the things that I find really funny here is it made me think of that Simpsons clip where Homer is just like, "I'd kill you if I had my gun," and the gun shop guy's like, "Yeah, well, you don't."
Well, you don't.
In this case, it's just like, I'd make a better plan if I had my dagger of time. It's like, yeah, well, you don't. So now he has to come up with a new plan. So obviously a new plan had to be formulated. Thankfully, the younger prince was all kinds of young guy reckless, wanting to impress his father, the king. And he was even easier to manipulate than Sharaman himself. So we're going to step back a little bit here. So during his childhood, the prince lived with his brother and his parents in the Palace of Babylon, where he
learned
sword fighting.
We have the dagger of time to go back, but he doesn't, at least.
Yeah, we do now. We can go back and just witness his childhood.
Yeah.
So he learned sword fighting, scripture, and probably some like throwaway Babylonian electives, basically.
Math.
I was thinking more like drawing snake women on pottery or whatever, making kinky outfits. He's got the kinky outfit elective for the units.
Right.
So his older brother taught him to fight, since his father was often away fighting wars, and lore boys canon, probably having illegitimate children out there.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Why do you say that? Just for fun or?
Yeah, I was just thinking, it was just like, fellas, it's not cheating if you're like conquering other lands, right?
Oh, okay.
That's the
spoils of war is not cheating.
that's a toxic burskalinity or whatever. Burskalinity.
I thought you were gonna say like, oh, there's a character in a future game that like super looks like him, and it's hinted at that it's a half brother or something. But I'm glad you're just thinking about this guy fucking
absent father. Yeah. And like, honestly, conquest for the glory of Persia, probably get his freak on a little bit. Left his wife behind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you think they're gonna do? You think they're just gonna do Tom Holland back shots in like some desert tent somewhere? That's not gonna age this episode or anything. So single parent homes obviously breed troublemakers sometimes, and the prince
About breeding again. Jesus Christ, this guy can't get it out of his head.
I was mostly a single parent home, so
yeah. You snuck out all the time.
Yep, relatable.
Yeah. So the prince
I was the one sneaking him out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because his parents got him a car, so we could go together.
Exactly. Ethan with his two parents causing even more trouble somehow.
I'm selling Discord in the single parent homes.
Like a marriage radicalist, just like. So the prince would often sneak out in Ethan's car and hang out with the commoners around Babylon, where they'd get into all kinds of mischief, probably, you know, stealing produce from the, like, whatever local date merchant, or, like, rustling camels, and just causing, like, teenage boy havoc all around town. But the way they would flee over the rooftops of Babylon. Prince of Persia, like its successors, the early Assassin's Creed games, has a lot of urban parkour as, like, the central movement mechanic. I know, Jamie, you said like one of the few things you remember is doing a lot of parkour, running on walls. Absolutely. The prince learned this by, you know, escaping the consequences of his actions with his friends out and causing trouble in Babylon, basically.
Yeah, I remember being a Prince Ali.
Yeah.
Glorious. Mighty Ali Ababwa.
I remember going running on walls in Prince of Persia and in Titanfall 2, and that's it.
Titanfall 2 does it a little bit better. They did refine the mechanic a little
bit.
They
added it to Apex.
Years. Really?
Yeah. There's the one guy who can do it
there's
now.
There's a
Skelly guy.
Can do it though. Yeah.
One guy.
You said that. I was like, really? Because didn't they make that like one character whose thing was like he can run on walls? So
yeah. Okay. Apparently they like updated or something. Like I have friends who are super into it. They were telling me about it. They're very mad that they can do it. That one character can do it. The others can't. But whatever. Yeah.
There's like one distinctly more fun guy in the entire roster. It's like,
yeah, oh, fuck that. You know, Pathfinder was like that for me, man. You're just Spider-Man your way everywhere.
Robot?
Yeah, he was the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the theft of the Dagger of Time was the way that the prince wanted to impress his father now that they were finally together again, because his father, forgotten his fucking name at this point, Shahrazad or something.
Shahriman.
Oh, Shahriman, excuse me.
Yeah, it's... It's
King
like
of snakes.
Yeah,
it's like a Digimon.
It's like Saruman, but with a.
Whom do you serve?
Yeah,
Saruman.
So the theft of the dagger, like I said, he wanted to impress his dad because his dad was just like, you know what, you're a troublemaker, but you passed all your electives finally and Babylonian homeschool. So now I'm going to take you to conquer India. Upon returning to another kingdom called Azad, this is post-successful invasion, everyone was fascinated with the glow inside the hourglass of time, and the vizier knew it could only be opened using the dagger that the prince had in his possession. He probably, like, presumably was just like, hey, you guys want to see something cool in the court? Prince, whatever your name is?
You in the crowd there. You look unfamiliar. Why don't you come right up? Now, would you happen to have a knife on you, dear boy?
Now, you, Prince, you and I have never met before. I would like the fact, like, Lore Boy's canon, he does have a name, but no one can remember it. So everybody's just like, Prince, yes, of course, the Prince is here. Yes, good. So kind of like a Babylonian sideshow attraction. The vizier convinced the prince and everybody in court, like, this is going to be really cool. Let's open the hourglass. You know, it's like, you ever, like, wonder, like, oh, I want to play with the shit inside a lava lamp.
Yeah. Like, you ever just, like, stay at home, maybe take some recreational drugs, and then take your CRT apart?
Yeah.
Yes.
On the front lawn. Like,
yeah.
You ever just, like, break open a thermometer, like pour out the fun liquid and like play with it in the palm of your hand kind of thing, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the vizier's like after tuberculosis, he now has like a prescription pill addiction and he's just like, guys, there's copper wire in the hourglass of time. they're trying to like pull it out. So the prince uses the dagger of time to open the hourglass of time. Upon releasing the sands of time, everyone except the prince and the vizier are turned into sand creatures. This includes the prince's father. The dagger and the staff protected the other two from being transformed into sand creatures. So the fact that the vizier and the prince had relics in their possession kept them safe.
Okay.
And then this finally sets in motion the events of the trilogy, where the prince attempts to put the sands of time back into the hourglass, initiating an event that is called in canon the Grand Rewind. The Great Reset. I guess.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, dude.
That's right.
Can't put sand back in the tube.
The toothpaste tube of time.
Yeah, toxic entropy, man. It just keeps happening. You can't go backwards, dude. Well, you can in this game, but anyways.
Only a bit.
Yeah.
If you just clean your room and, you know, if the government would give you a wife, then you could go back in time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's how it should be. Prince of Sphere or whatever.
Yeah. The Prince of Sphere, yeah. I don't want to catch Tate tuberculosis.
Nobody does. Fatal.
So I have been your toxic host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I managed to lie to people and get them to get us over 1,000 followers. I will obviously not be doing porn and getting our Instagram banned, but thank you very much for everybody. Last I looked, we're like 1,004.
You can't do straight up porn. Like you could do man nipples. You can't do woman nipples. You can like show your ass as long as you cover the butthole. I don't think you can just straight up show a dick or a pussy though. But anyways,
I wasn't gonna try. Anyway,
Jamie's
that's my
tried,
thing.
Clearly, he's come up against obstacles in his quest to get porn on Instagram.
Well, I remember Eric Andre got banned for showing his dick or something.
A classic Eric Andre. What a champion of the people.
Oh, the Nathan For You guy did something similar where he was always taking selfies and had like the reflection of a naked old man in like something he was holding. So there was like I remember like someone was telling me about this. The show's over now, so we have another tangent.
So
where
funny.
He was just like he was showing it on like on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was just like, yeah, I got my Instagram banned, blah blah blah, for like sexual content. So there's like a picture of him at dinner or whatever. He's like in a like a happy pose, but they're in the reflection of like the knife he's holding, there's like a naked man.
Oh my god, that guy is so fucking funny, man.
Oh, he's hilarious.
So good,
he's hilarious. Yeah.
So that's that. Yeah. So I'll be post. Thanks again, but yeah, legitimately though, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for over 1,000 followers on Instagram. I like the fact I've
I'm
always
surprised
joked about it.
It worked, dude. I'm like, cause I
it's
saw
so
you.
Funny.
No, I saw you post on Instagram about getting more Instagram followers. I'm like, you're posting to your followers. Like, how is that supposed to work, Peter? But it worked. So fuck me.
Because they're on Instagram already, and they're like, cool. Yeah, I'll send the link to a friend and say, hey, just like this page or whatever.
But also, like, the hashtags on the images does draw people to the like. That's how you get new followers. But then
hashtag porn.
I would have thought like cross
Dixon,
like
dicks and vaginas.
Like you post on your Facebook about your Instagram and on your Instagram about your Facebook or whatever. And that's how you get like the most traction is what I was thinking is like cross promotion or getting your name on other people's stuff. But I'm not a marketing guru. Peter
we're going to theorize this on the for all the listeners. I would think that doing what you're suggesting only gets you your Facebook followers to go to your Instagram and then we'll get your Instagram followers to go to your Facebook. But they're not necessarily promoting it to their friends, right? Which for everyone listening at home, if you want to help the show, the best way to do it is tell your friends. Word of mouth is the only way we spread.
Yeah.
So like if
tuberculosis.
if you follow us on Facebook where we never ever post and you want to help the show, you can tell your friends to follow us on Instagram where Peter does post regularly. And that will help us grow. And it's the only way we do it. The only way we know how to do it.
And I mean, Discord. I post links to episodes.
You want to talk about the Discord, Jibo?
Yeah, get in the Discord. If you go to discord.gg/loreboys, you'll be able to get in. You can also just check in the description. I think there's a bit of a hiccup with our website, so I know a couple people mentioned it. Don't worry about it. It'll get
down
fixed.
Right now. I have the Squarespace open. It's like, oh, you just import from WordPress, and I did it, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I posted every individual post. Nothing.
You can imagine it would be a lot of work.
Never mind. Okay. I just need to reload apparently because it's working.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll be up soon. It'll be up soon.
Sick.
I worked on it for like 2 hours, and then I was like, this isn't working, and it seems like it should work, and now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, here's all our posts.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Love to see it.
I don't know if the embeds will work, like if you'll be able to get the audio right away, or if I'll have to...
We'll figure that out.
Finagle that a little bit.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, just get in the Discord. That's where I do a lot of my chatting with folks. You can get in on a lot of like the inside jokes too, like Tom Holland back shots. You can see some of the pictures, especially if you sub to the Patreon, it unlocks 4 extra channels. Prime folks, where we have secret conversations that only the high rollers can have.
The real winner of the extra channels is the episode picks, where you're gonna see the sexy zombie this week.
Yes, absolutely.
That's gonna be the one for sure.
Lose your titles game, which is always fun, and we have Patreon AMA, where you can ask anything to us. And Magnus the Rad saying you can do Killer Mickey Mouse. Hey, that question, I find it funny that the AMA is for us, but everybody else answers too.
You stay the fuck out of it.
But you know what? If you want to feel like you're part of the gang, enjoy.
You are a part of the gang. Yeah, Magnus exactly. And Chaz are both parts of
the gang. Definitely part of the gang.
Oh, so shout out to Jodo180. I wanted to say this at the top of the show. I'm so sorry. Sorry, not shout out to Jodo180. Shout out to Jodo180's wife, who was forced to listen to our last episode. So I'm going to shout her out in the hopes that Jodo will make her listen to this one too. It's even better that it's at the end, so she has to listen all the way through. But if you're listening, Jodo180's wife, hi.
Hello. Yeah, we got a lot of great, like a super cool community in there, like people that we've gotten to know over the years, and you can be a part of that. Or you could just lurk. You can just check our out of context quotes and post them onto Twitter so we get canceled. And
promote your own stuff as well. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it for Discord.
Cool. And Peter, what's going on with Instagram these days?
Not a whole hell of a lot. Just getting retaining followers, you know, posting stories, posting posts, posting pictures.
Posting porn. Hashtag porn. Hashtag dick and vagina. Toxic masculinity. And I've been your host, Peter. Oh no, do the rewind thing again. Oh no, I'm not going to do that because I'm editing. Okay, never mind. No, if you guys want to help the show, like I said, telling your friends is the best way to do it. Telling people you meet at work who you think might like it and won't be too offended by our sometimes off color humor. Go ahead and recommend them the show, recommend them our socials, recommend them, to download and tell their friends about it. You got to tell them like, hey, you got to give, like Tim Robinson would say. And, you know, if they're going to listen to us, you're going to give them the secret of a great podcast, but they got to tell 3 friends. We're working on a pyramid scheme here.
Yeah.
I did think that Persia was Egypt. So I had this whole bit about pyramid schemes, but were there pyramids in Babylon? I don't know. Probably. There's pyramids all over the place because they didn't last a long time.
And they're everywhere. They're in Mexico. They're in Egypt.
Where the axolotls live.
And the ones in Egypt are like 0.1 degrees
Hold on.
Off.
My wife is mouthing silently to me what the pyramids in Babylon were called. Ziggurats.
Oh,
ziggurats. I've heard of ziggurats before. I didn't know specifically Babylon, but there you go.
I've played ziggurat.
I think that's like a, is that a Zerg building? I feel like it's no.
Well, I think maybe in Warcraft. You're right though. It's in one of those games.
Yeah.
It's in, there's ziggurats in, what is the Ghostlands right below the Blood Elf starting zone. You got to like clear a bunch of ziggurats.
Eastern Plaguelands has some too.
If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/loreboys, like Jamie was saying, that will get you access to those all that fancy stuff. And if you don't trust them, then, hey, we're building pyramids, guys. So, or ziggurats. Fucking excuse me. Boy, did I sound stupid, huh? So Peter, Jamie, and I each have our own artifacts of time, of course. I have the sand bag. So it can turn back floods, which can be kind of nice.
I have Vaseline, which helps keep the wrinkles out of my face.
Yeah, of time. You got to say of time, dude. Legally speaking. Exactly. You know what? Our lawyers fucking briefed us on this, dude. You have to say of time. We can't say we have Vaseline because Vaseline owns that product.
Oh,
so as soon as you say of time, then it's a unique
product. I got lotion. Lotion, and it slows the time on my face.
There you go. And Pete, of course, has.
I've got the Bottle of Time, which actually accelerates the time between me having to walk away from the podcast to go pee.
Oh,
it always refills with water. Or it always refills with sand, which is delicious.
Yeah. It dehydrates you, so you never have to pee. if you want to get access to our riches, you just have to volunteer to be a slave. voluntary worker. For our ziggurat. Our ziggurat construction, essentially. Yeah. We expect it to take somewhere in the range of 1,000 years to build, but we got time travel, so don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The sun will never set on the Loreboy's empire.
You're exactly. An indentured employee, but think of it more of a family.
Yeah, we've got motivational posters, you know, two 15-minute breaks a day. It's pretty nice.
Absolutely.
You know, you're allowed to go to the bathroom once a day during your shift. Nice.
We have a kebab party every 6 months, but no raises. No raises.
All the rhubarb you can eat in the break room.
Your mouth just like shriveled with sand and rhubarb from a day of work.
And you're just full of kidney stones.
Yeah, you won't need to worry about that bathroom break. Don't worry about it.
And I think that would cost you a lore boys.
Lore boys. Lore boys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.